broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, August the 23rd, 2022, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And we open up this morning with a very interesting story here in the Marion area that we would like to start clearing up that's going to come to a head tonight at the Marion City School Board meeting at 6 p.m. To be held at Harding High School. Now, just to give you a little background before we go to our guest, and I can't wait to talk to him. We all heard last year Demetrius Ross was made the head coach of the Harding High School football team, and he had a great season last year, and everybody was excited, and we were getting ready to go back to school this year. And 8 days before the start of the season, we learned that Coach Ross was resigning to go on to other positions. And since then, there has been a little bit of scuttlebutt involving this whole thing, and we wanted to bring the man himself on to clear this all up and tell us what's going to go down tonight at the school board meeting, and maybe talk a little bit about why he left this position at Harding High School. It's always best to go right to the person and hear it from their mouth. What a pleasure it is to welcome to this program for the first time, but hopefully not the last, Coach Demetrius Ross. Coach Ross, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good to hear from you. Well, Coach, let's start at the beginning here. I know you're on limited time this morning, but we want to kind of cover as much ground as we can. 8 days before the season, I think that's what brought so much of this on. Why did you decide to resign from the Harding football team?
Well, it's not as easy as just why I decided to resign. I mean, the story goes back even longer before the decision. It was based on a lot of deliberation, a lot of prayer, a lot of affirmation and confirmation through my faith. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe, and that's okay. I'm a firm believer in my faith, the foundation that my mother laid for me long ago, and how I make decisions to try to govern my life as far as being the best version of myself, which is what I tried to preach and teach. The decision was not easy. It did come with, like I said, a lot of deliberation, and it was predicated on a lot of things that did not come to pass that were originally laid out to be the case. I truly don't believe it was any fault of any individual. I believe it's a bigger picture. It was a fault of a system that has been under attack for some time, that is starting to work its way back to stabilization as well as healing for our community. When you talk about a decision to leave 8 days before a season, when you made the decision to leave to be a part of it to begin with, you know, it leads a lot of people to question. So the decision came based on, as I mentioned before, confirmation through signs that were given to me, through constant examples throughout the course of the year that explained to me that this was not the time or the place to be out of alignment. And what I mean by that is I was in alignment with what God has called for me to do. Yes, He's given me the gift and the ability to use my skills of football to teach and to mentor. And that's why we were able to find the success that we did. We were able to buy and build on biblical principles or concepts that empowered the young men to take back their lives, to take back their futures, and to attack it. That's why the phases were in three. The first phase was to trust the process. That stems beyond football. Trusting a process or trusting in something that you don't always believe in or can't always see is a part of what I tried to restore, a winning culture, trusting in that and everything that it took in order to do that. The next phase was to be able to go and exercise 120% effort. That effort also extends outside of football. And the last phase was to attack your future, meaning to not leave things for chance, but to go after things that you want in life by exercising the first two principles, trusting in yourself, trusting in something that's greater than you, giving 120% of your effort, and attacking your opportunities. So when the opportunity for me to coach Marion football was presented, even 3 years prior to me actually accepting the job, you know, I had to wait. God was telling me it wasn't my time then. He allowed me to move my family to Ohio for us to be stable. And then 3 years later, he presented the opportunity to me as well. I accepted that opportunity. I sat down with the previous leadership, and I spoke to them about what it would entail in order for me to be able to accept the job. We had came to terms on what that would be as far as a contract would be concerned in regards to the district, as well as what would satisfy my home, as I spoke to my wife about what our need would be, and we had a number in mind. That number was presented to me at the beginning of my season last year before I accepted the job, and I have expressed to the leadership that I was that would work. That number that we came to terms with would be okay. That's where I was hoping to be at first year. I was told that, you know, I was a late hire, so that there wasn't any room in the budget to do anything more at this time, but we would revisit this at a later time now that we were on board. I was okay with that. I believed in the mission. I believed in the chance to come back and pour into a community that helped give me my start. As the season progressed, the position that I was offered was not kind of the position that we had talked about or it was communicated again. This was just a matter of communication between leadership. So there became a perception early on in regards to why I was there. Right away, my first check, I was like, well, if you add 1 + 1, and so as far as I know, that still equals 2. That was not equaling the number if you forecasted that throughout the course of the year. So my concern grew. I had went back to the district or the leadership, and I had asked a simple question, like, is this is not what we had spoke about? And I was told at that point, well, I never thought I would be able to get board approval, so I packaged it a little different. So you would be able to pull a little bit from here, pull a little bit from here, and try and give you a reflective number. But it wasn't the case. And I was already vested. I was already in the process of building, and I had already resigned from my previous position. So when it came down to moving forward, I felt as if we could constantly talk to resolve the issue. So I had reached out proactively throughout the course of the year, and again, our district was in was not without its own challenges. And what I mean by that is when I have a contractual issue that I wanted to bring forth to the table, when I did so, there was a matter in the district that had trumped my issue, per se. It was very easy for my issue to be pushed aside, rightfully so, because our district was dealing with very pressing and urgent matters that super exceeded my contractual confusion. In regards to our HR, Mr. Adam Conkle, leaving the district at a time where we were needing to replace that position, a time where our board had to bring in two more members. So we were up against something. In that period of time, it was always something with the resignation of our assistant superintendent, leading all the way up to a change in our president on the school board, which then finally capped off with the resignation of the superintendent. So if you look at the course of a year and how all these events were spread out throughout the course of the year, my contract negotiation was being brought forth to the table, but then pushed aside with another pressing, and rightfully so, urgent matter within our district. So I can't blame the situation on any one person. It was a product of the system that was recovering from some necessary changes that needed to occur. I've sat in on board meetings. I've listened to some of the frustrations that our teachers had. I've listened to the frustrations that other coaches have had. I've listened to the frustrations of the superintendent, to board members who I've grown up with and I'm very close to in regards of a relationship throughout that community. And I believe everyone was saying and wanting the same thing, but understanding how to get there collectively was our issue. And throughout all of it, we were building a new culture in football, finding success all the while. I was suffering tremendously in my personal life with my family. what a lot of people don't understand, and I've witnessed comments being made and said throughout, you know, this whole week and previously about the decision and, you know, how dare I, and, you know, but there's always two sides to a story, and I just felt like it was time, with permission from my Heavenly Father, to go ahead and speak with emotional intelligence about why I made the decision that I did.
First and foremost,
I am called to be the priest of my house. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let me just. I want to make sure we're all clear on this before I, because I want you to continue here. But so what we're saying is that there were financial promises made to you when you hired in that were never carried out, and that is a big part of what led to your resignation, and you felt that the school was under attack. Who was the school under attack by?
Well, itself. It was under attack by itself because we had leadership that was, at the time, there was a perception of our leadership being disconnected from those that they were called to lead. If you look back over the history of last year's board minutes, and you could see that there was a cry, there was an outreach, there was a pour out for teachers looking and reaching and desperately asking for support in regards to some of the traumas that were experienced, that they were experiencing in the schools. So when I mean under attack, I mean under attack within itself, within the dysfunction of stabilization, which would have produced a sound educational system for our children, which was not the case collectively. And you could tell that these are not this my personal opinion. You could just, like I said, pull the notes and the minutes from several board meetings where you heard the cries and the outreach of teachers and administrators who were at a loss with what they felt the level of support was and how the school year carried itself. I mean, it was a lot of trauma on both ends, administratively and at the direct care level. With the administration and the teachers. So that's what I mean by under attack. And to further clarify it, it was, you know, they were under attack by Satan. You know what I mean? Because dysfunction and destruction is what his mission and his goal is. And once he infiltrates at a certain level, then it causes, you know, these types of dysfunctions. And I think everyone wanted the same thing. We just didn't understand at the time how to get there. And throughout that process, you know, my personal need kept getting pushed aside, like I said, rightfully so, because there was a greater need that took precedence. But unfortunately, it caused my own personal strife and things that I had to come to terms with, which is what led me to making that decision.
Coach, before we get to tonight's board meeting, because I want to talk about this, was there a final straw that led you to resign? Was there a final conversation with somebody about the finances that you were promised and the role you were promised? What finally led to you handing in your resignation?
So it was permission, as I mentioned before. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and it's, sometimes he allows us to venture outside of the parameters that he set for us in order for us to learn things. And he has given me the opportunity to use the platform that I'd asked for through football as I prayed for him to expand my ministry and my territory. And he gave me the platform to do that. But if I operate outside of his parameters, he allows things to happen in order for us to correct ourselves or make sure we are consistently in alignment. And what I mean by that is I have to be able to be a priest in my own home and lead my family before I could ever lead anyone else. So the determining straw was a collection of confirmation that I'd received from being out of alignment, as well as natural decisions that occurred, and I'll express those. So after going through the deliberation of constantly presenting my case contractually and having been pushed aside due to more pressing, according to the board, issues that they needed to address, it wind up being the very last one, which was Dr. Irusi leaving the district and moving forth with my cry on contractual obligation to, he passed the information on to someone else in order for them to pick up the ball without communicating effectively what the need was. So the person that I was placed in charge of, outside of the district through Marion Technical College, did not truly understand the cry throughout the year and only tried to offer me what was in their parameters. going through the finishing touches of my contract throughout the year, there were stipends that were supposed to be awarded to me. Now, we can go back and forth about were they applied for, were they not applied for, was they said this, were they, there's a lot of hearsay in regards to that. But contractually, I was promised a football stipend and two weight room stipends, one at the beginning of summer, one at the end of spring. That was my contract. And when the spring had came and approached, contract was awarded, all was well. When the summer had come around, that one was not. And throughout that last 30 days, I was anticipating that to help meet financial needs that I had suffered throughout the course of the year by tremendously reducing my my annual income, only based on the fact that I was told one number. So I knew I would take a cut in the beginning. But I was okay with that because my wife and I discussed that the needs that could be met under the new contract, and we were fine there. But when you fall short of that almost another $15,000, you know, that's an issue. And still trying to operate throughout the course of the year. And then being led to believe that the latter part of your contract would be obligated and then wasn't, only to be told... and I won't get into the details of who said what at this particular time. People are well aware of who they are. But for it to be said, well, oh, I thought it would be better for you or thought it would be better or thought you wanted to have it during this time and this time, completely blows my mind. And within that parameter, I had issued, I had went and spoke to new leadership in regards to what had transpired throughout the course of the year. And, I was told then, well, they will take a look at it. They will deliberate about it. It's a lot to process through and see, you know, and get back to me and see what they could come up with. Unfortunately, they were also on a clock as well, because in order for me to meet my financial obligations to my family and make sure that there was going to be a continued roof over their head and that the needs of my wife and my children would continue to be met, I had a 45-day window that I had to make a decision on accepting a new position that would help stabilize my family and allow them to continue to grow and prosper and lead according to how I was called to lead, or run the risk of saying, okay, I'll wait again, pass on the opportunity to create financial stability in my home and put my faith in man. Psalms 118, verse 8 says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than in man, because unfortunately man will let you down every time. So I decided to exercise my faith and say, Lord, I'm going to jump as you called me to and place my faith in this new position as I've done so, and be able to accept whatever criticism or ridicule that may come my way, because I've given the district all that I had. I've given them my 120. I was preparing to attack the future and continue to lead this program as the head coach. And I wanted to build a process that everyone can trust that would also spill over into the community and create a much needed healing that I believe that the football program would be able to provide. Unfortunately, things did not pan out that way based on decisions that were made or decisions that were just continued to be pondered over, and not understanding the magnitude or the time frame in which I was under to make sure my home would continue to be stabilized and I could provide for my children.
Coach, before we get to tonight's school board meeting, because this is very important, because I know you're going to be there, who initially made the promise of the finances to you, and was it the new school board that, did they play any part in this? Because you talked about all the exoduses from Marion City Schools, the president of the school board, the superintendent, assistant superintendent, principals in buildings, yourself. Do you lay any of this on the new school board? There was the kerfluffle about trying to get a new school board member. It actually had to go to Judge Fregali here in town. So who made the initial financial offer to you when you were originally hired? And did this new school board play any part in your decision to leave?
So the contract was offered by our previous leader in the school board. So I will leave it at that. So the previous leader of the school, not the school board, but of the district, I should say, was who I sat down with and I'd had contractual conversation with and who I had come to terms with. The new school board, I hold them responsible for none of the mess that they inherited, but I do hold them responsible for making very sound decisions about moving forward when it comes to healing and making decisions that are based on the interest of the children and those who are directly involved with the care of those children. and the social economics that go and play a huge part in that. Our new district, district leaders have a tremendous task. They have been bombarded with a lot of information from a lot of people who have been done wrong, or who would like to see some form of justice, or however they want to call it, retribution or healing. There's a lot of agenda in our district, but at the end of the day, the responsibility still falls on the leadership to be the voice, to be the medicine, to be the reason that the district needs to help create a solid foundation of healing that will allow us to get back on track with education, get back on track with the services that our children desperately need, to be able to support the administration who come in, whose hearts are in the right place, who want to serve the district, who want to serve these children, who want to make Marion what they remember Marion being when they used to walk the streets as children. So they have a tremendous responsibility, and I do hold them responsible for everything moving forward. Even though they inherited a challenge, I believe if they collectively hear and put their ear to the ground and be and understand the pulse of the community and what the true need is, and are able to peel back the levels of the onion and embed some solid principles and foundation of growth and healing, I believe we will start to see the dramatic change that our district needs. It's unfortunate that we've lost a lot of great people along the way, but again, God has a purpose for everyone's life, and He's placed me in position to do a different work, but still serve His will.
Coach, one more question here before tonight's school board meeting, and I want to get to that before we have to let you go. Do you feel when you had the meeting with the previous head of the school district and those financial promises were made and all the promises were made to you that you thought would be coming, do you feel now, looking back on it, you were intentionally misled? Do you think that maybe that person just couldn't get it together, or that they never had any intention to get it together?
So I can't speak on anyone's intentions, or I would be a fool to do that. But what I will speak on is that, again, when we talk about parameters, when we talk about obedience, when we talk about God's purpose for your life, it is up to each and every individual to realize that we are all part of a bigger plan, that we all serve a greater purpose. And there's been times when I've ran from my purpose because I felt like it wasn't something that I was supposed to be doing. You know, I wanted to do it my way, like a lot of people have struggled with. So I can't say that there was any one person who deliberately did anything intentionally to mislead me at all. I misled myself. But at the same time, I learned through the process. My eyes were awakening to a greater calling, to a greater need, to a greater purpose. I tried to empower my staff to the best of my ability, to encourage them to meet and achieve their goals. Every individual that I had an opportunity to coach, I did the same thing. And we found great success with these young men that were able to move forward, who never knew that they were going to be able to do that before, that are now off in college, that are striving to be better men and better versions of themselves, so that one day they can come back and pour into a community as I chose to. So maybe that was what my time was supposed to be, to come in during a time of cultivating and disrupt the soil, which is what I did. I disrupted the soil of Marion, Ohio through a football program. And then through that process, we also were able to plant some seeds. And in planting those seeds, there becomes a season of harvest. And that season of harvest is when Marion gets to see the products of their environment come back to serve them in a magnitude that's going to create positive change and necessary healing. Maybe that was the point of my mission. Maybe that's what God allowed me to do during my short time there. But He also had to awaken me and say, now get in the perfect alignment that I've called for you and walk in the obedience with the path that I've laid out. And according to His will, not without challenge, but to go move forward and be an ambassador of His word through whatever platform that He chooses to give me next. So I can't blame anyone for anything. It was a product of the environment. It was the situation. It was the circumstance. It was very unfortunate, but I serve a higher power, and I walk in a different authority. So whatever I lay my hands on through the power that He's given me, it will be blessed. And I believe that. And I believe my work in Marion is not done. Me and Johnny Jackson are still planning on doing a tremendous work in that community, and working together collectively, putting our heads together to still serve the community that we both love. So whether I'm a football coach or I'm working alongside Johnny or I'm working with some of the board members still, I plan on, or the coaching staff moving forward, I plan on still being a very pivotal part in that community, because if it wasn't for that community and the people who helped pour into me, I wouldn't be in the position that I am in now. But the decision was made solely to protect my family, the roof over the over their heads that I was called to provide, and to be the priest of my home in order to answer to the responsibility of my wife first and foremost, and then to honor my position as a father.
Coach Ross, this brings us to today, and I think this is an important part. You touched on this. You left because promises were not kept, and financial promises were not kept. You resigned 8 days before the season, and then came the flood, and we've all seen them, social media posts, people talking in the community, that how could you do this to the kids? Some people have even said you were fired, that you didn't resign. You've heard those things. What did you make of this?
I anticipated it. I knew it. I understood it. But it's also a product of what I was talking about before. There's just a healing that needs to take place in our community. Everyone has a right to their opinion. Who dare I to question how my decision made anyone feel? They have every right to say the things that they said. My only hopes for even speaking with you today now is to bring peace. Is to bring peace to those who were in turmoil and didn't understand why or how something like this could have happened. And then so that their choices and the things that they say and the things that they will be held accountable for, they can take a little bit more, what do you want to call it? They could be a little bit more mindful of how some of the things they say may also impact others. Like I said, I have thick skin. I've been talked about all my life, and I hope to continue to be talked about, because in doing so, that means I'm getting across to someone, or I'm having some type of an imprint or impact on any individual's life who has anything negative to say about me, or even positive for that matter. I've impacted you in such a way to where you have to voice your personal opinion about it, and in order to do so, maybe I can bring some change to your life personally, or help you understand what it is that you may be going through, so you can walk in whatever purpose that you have. Then they talked about Jesus, as my mom says all the time, so I'm in good company, and I'm okay with the things that are being said. I'm just not okay with the fact that we're stay stuck in it, and that we don't move forward and heal as a community, because things that are said in the public also affect the same children that they're saying that they're trying to protect. The same children who have a love for me and I love that I have for them are also impacted by some of the hurtful words that were said or some of the confusion that were said. I spoke to my team first, and I didn't go into tremendous detail, but I spoke to them about adversity. I spoke to them about life. I spoke to them about character. So those are the things that I wanted to leave my team with, because I knew they would be bombarded by a social media world today that feels empowered by the very button that they push when they send things into the atmosphere that can't be taken back. So my hopes was just to kind of shed some light to allow some people to heal, and so for some questions to be answered in regards to who I am and who I have always been and who I will continue to be and grow into moving forward. So.
Two quick questions, Coach Ross, before we let you go here. Tonight, you have said you are going to attend the school board meeting at 6 p.m. tonight at Marion Harding High School. You had not planned to attend this, but something has brought this on, and what is the intention at tonight's school board meeting?
So I'm still in deliberation. There was two phases to that question. I've been given permission to finally speak to you. So I apologize and you are relentless in your pursuit for the truth. So I respect what you do, and thank you for your consistency, because I stalled you out as long as I could, because I couldn't speak intelligently about how I was feeling, because there was still too much emotions involved. So I try to exercise myself to be someone who's cognizant is of emotional intelligence. So I stayed sealed and I remained quiet, is why I never responded to anything that's ever been said to me in social media. But tonight's meeting and tonight's agenda was going to be predicated on how I felt about this conversation you and I had today. If my spirit told me that you were searching and looking for things that were going to only cause more harm and hurt, then I felt as if I would have to rectify that by going and making a further statement. I'm going to get in my council of people who are support me in ministry, who I rely on to help keep, that I can pour into when I'm having challenges, and I'm going to deliberate about it. My intention for the initial meeting and wanting to go was to put people on notice and to make it about an ugly truth that I've had to deal with for the course of my time there. But then as God worked on me, he said, that's not what I called you to do. That's not going to start or create healing. So then it originally became asking members, very, very prominent members of our community, pastors of such, to meet me and to meet me there so that we could offer a prayer over the district during the time that they would allow me to speak. So that we can begin the process of healing, so that our new leaders will have a solid foundation and understand that there is a tremendous support behind them, because we're counting on them to get it right, because of the future of Marion, through our kids that they're raising and teaching and being responsible for throughout the day. So that's what I'm hoping that we can evolve to. But again, you've been to a board meeting. They like to only give you 3 minutes to speak. So, and as you can tell by this meeting, I've never been able to speak for a minimum of, 15, 20, or 30 minutes at a time. So if you give me a 3-minute window, I'm going to fail miserably in regards to that. So I don't want to make the meeting about me. It's not a spectacle about me. It's I'm hoping for it to be an opportunity for change. I'm hoping for it to be an opportunity for healing for those who are in need of it. And for those who believe, a chance to be a part of prayer where two or three gather, because the presence of the Lord will be there. And I believe that's what we need to start with. For those who believe, we need an intercession right now. We need an interceding with new leadership coming in that will help create solid foundation for our community, for the school district, and for our football program to be able to move forward, and other sports programs throughout this. Just not about football, because it's the same kids playing other sports. But for there to be a tremendous opportunity for there to be a healing, that's what the agenda has turned into for me. Whether that's welcomed or not, that's not for me to determine. But that's where my mindset is. That's what my deliberation has been about. That's what my God has brought forth to my spirit. And that's what I've asked other leaders of the community to join me in regards to doing that. Now, whether or not I still plan to attend will be solely predicated on counsel that I plan on having with leadership after this radio interview.
Perfect. And Coach Ross, my final question is, and I think maybe this is the most pertinent question, is what is the thing that has been the most hurtful that has been said that maybe impacted your family or impacted your former players since you left, that has now called upon you to tell us that really one of the big reasons you left, if not the big reason, was a financial promise that was not made, and some promises of what you'd be able to do that were not made? Because people will say, as you know, in the social media, they will say, well, was it race? Was it age? What did any of that play into this? And what was the most pertinent thing that was said that has spurred you now to speak out?
Well, it was, as I mentioned before, it was a collection of things. There was some... Boy, you're about to open up. I got to be careful with my choice of words here. There's a part of all of that plays a part. I will say that. But the biggest thing that was hurtful is the misconception of who I am and how I've governed myself, and how kids have been affected by decisions that were made or not made. And how they read into it and are left to formulate their own opinions or their own interpretation of truth. I think that's what's hurt the most, because yes, my children also look at social media. They also follow the program. They're also excited about the things that are happening. So when their father was portrayed as this and as that, I was only told about the things that were said because I'm smart enough to know to not put myself in a position where I'm just going and looking through all the social media stuff and feeding myself with that negativity. So I'm smart enough to know through my experience to not engage myself into that. But it's others who were affected by it who wanted to share with me things that were being said. And that in doing so, it gave me an opportunity to minister to them and to pour into them about how there's no need to respond, about how to rise above some of these things. But the biggest hurt was that, how kids were left to interpret their own understanding of what was being said, regardless of how far it was from the truth. I'm a firm believer of this, too. The perception of my decision is rightfully so the reality of all who embarked on it, but it does not necessarily make it its truth. And what I mean by that is people are going to feel first and foremost how they feel about anything initially that they encounter, regardless of if it's true or not. It's whether or not they are willing to ask the questions or sit down with someone to gain perspective before they ultimately rest in a decision or choices that they make. But these kids are not afforded that opportunity. They're just force-fed whatever they can take through social media and then left to figure out or sort through some of this confusions that adults feel that they need to express through a form such as social media. So that was the biggest hurtful thing. And the fact that my mother still walks those streets with pride, my entire family has carried ourselves as prominent members of the society who have given back in every opportunity that they could. But for my mother to have to witness and listen and hear hurtful things that were said about me, but she's a strong person. Anyone who knows my mom, she takes it for what it is, and she continues to move forward. I just never wanted that for her or anyone in my family. But at the same time, there's nothing that can be said that will ever discredit our legacy, because people who know us and know the works within us and the fruits of our labor understand that you can talk about us as much as you would like to, but it still bears no impact on the work that we will continue to do and the work that we've also already done as products of Marion, Ohio.
And the second part of that question, just so we can make sure everything's clear and nobody's confused, was there any element of anything else? I say I've heard things race, I've heard things about age. Did any of that factor in?
And to my decision to leave?
Do you feel you were treated any differently, or that somebody else would not have been treated the same way you were?
So I'm going to preface this because I kind of see where you're going with it. Every leader is. Every leader is going to be called to have to answer all those questions. Every leader is going to be faced, whether you're white or black, whether you're young or old, with those decisions of, is he old enough? Is he wise enough? In a social dynamic culture that we live in the world that we live in today, where race is such a still very, very hot button for a lot of people, of course, you know, I'm going to have to answer to that. Of course, there's going to be people that are saying it's because of my race, and others are saying it has nothing to do with my race. But every person in leadership will be always called to answer those questions on either side of the spectrum. So do I believe it played a part in it? Absolutely. Do I believe it didn't play a part in it? Absolutely. Because in a leadership position, depending on who you're leading, I wasn't just leading all young kids. I was also leading a group of grown men. I wasn't just leading white kids on the football team. I was also leading black kids on the football team. I wasn't just leading boys. I was also leading young ladies who are part of management teams within our football program, who are also a part of our football program, and trying to build leadership skills. So when you are a leader called to lead, regardless of what you look like or how old you are, if you step into that responsibility, you're going to have to answer and be and act accordingly to all those things that you may succumb to when it comes to the ignorance of the community or those around you that are trying to look for ulterior motives or agendas. Now, I can't deny that any of those were not a factor because that's just the world that we live in. But it was not a deciding factor for me. The deciding factor for me was solely based on my ability to stabilize my family and what God was presenting to me throughout the course of the year through his examples of me stepping outside of the parameters in which he had set forth to me, for me. And what that means is putting the cart before the horse and not having my family in perfect alignment, which is why things started to manifest the way they did. It has nothing to do with the district shortfalls. It has everything to do with my responsibility as the priest of my home.
You know, Coach Ross, with just a few minutes left here, because I think this is important. When the story initially came out, it was a front page of the Marion Star, and obviously a lot of people have talked about it when you resigned 8 days prior to the start of the season. At that time, finances were not brought up. I believe you said $15,000 in the course of this interview. At that time, why did you feel you could not say that to the press when the initial decision was made?
I did not have permission. And what I mean by that is, when you are called to serve, you have to be careful and cognizant of what you do and what you say because of how it impacts others. Now, my sole responsibility was to protect the integrity of the district that I felt I was done wrong by. It was still, my intentions were to hold intact and to respect the integrity of their position to move forward collectively, because I started to see that there was nothing that was going to be able to be done with a past leadership and for the new leadership to be held responsible for past promises. You know what I mean? So when those things started to become clear to me, the reason why I didn't go detail and pinpoint names and talk about specific examples of what happened and all the wrong that I was done because of the very power of the freedom of speech that we have and how important it is to exercise what it is you say with caution. I could have lit a fire and gave personal examples of all the wrongs that have ever been done to me since I started as the head coach of Marion Harding football, but to what avail? How would that have started the process of healing? Okay. How would me telling a story now about that was being told throughout the course of the year, but it hopes to be taken care of at the level which it could have been before it ever needed to be made public? Because public is always going to have an opinion. And even after this, for those who are listening in, they're still going to find things that I've said today to challenge my character, to challenge my decision, to challenge, you know, why I came to begin with, and my faith, all of those things, the history of me. I mean, there are people who spend their time looking to discredit me and have done so since I've started. But I welcome that, because at the end of the day, I will put my character on the line against anyone who has anything negative to say about me. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I am a product of an environment that has poured into me, that has challenged me, that has built me, that has toughened me, and has allowed me to go throughout this entire country and throughout the world and experience things that I tried to bring back and pour into this community. And I will continue to pour into this community. So the reason why I didn't go as detailed as I even did today in this interview was because I'm still trying to protect the integrity of something that's greater than me for those who I'm leaving behind. I do have the opportunity to leave and go embark on new challenges and be successful because of the ordainment that has been placed over my life. But there's others who don't have that ability yet, who still have to wake up in Marion and still have to face some of the same challenges that I faced. So for me to just light a fire and then walk away and leave others to clean up a mess that I've left, that would be unfair. So I wanted to take a different approach, and rightfully so, by remaining sealed and being very selective and calculated on what I chose to express in order to start the process of healing. And that's what my agenda was for today. That's why it's taken me so long to be able to speak with you, because it was a process of pruning and deliberating. I had to remove some hurt from within me, and I had to humble myself so that I could come on this on your show and speak intelligently from the emotions that I have and the emotions of others, and respect all of it, and moving forward with the hopes of healing and creating a solid foundation for our community to change, because that's what we need. We need a positive change, and we need to move forward in the best interest of our kids.
Coach Ross, as we got 3 minutes here before we wrap this up, and this has been a fascinating interview, and I do thank you for finally coming on. I think it's been fascinating. But when you look back at your year at Marion City Schools, aside from all the good and fun and obviously records you achieved at with the football field, when you talk about all the things that were done, again, back to the financial promises that were not kept, how do you qualify your time in Marion City Schools, dealing with administration, dealing with those problems? How do you look back on it now that it's come to an end?
It was very rewarding. It was very enlightening. It was an honor to be back. It was an honor to learn. from not only people that I've spent time talking with in the district, also administrators that I've spent time talking with, coaches who have coached me that I've spent time talking with, kids that have imprinted on me, that have impacted me in such a way, community members, both positive and negative, that I've had stories and opportunities to create memorable moments with. It's been a very, very great experience. And it's also been a very challenging experience at the same time. So when you have the two of those, that's a great recipe for change. That's a great recipe for growth. So I thank Marion for the opportunity for me to grow and for me to reach even a new level in my calling and in my purpose because of what I was able to see throughout my experiences in Marion, both good and bad. The conversations that I had with my wife when she saw how I was carrying some of the hardships and some of the tough things that I was dealing with throughout the course of the year, all while still representing and building and trying to be a positive example to the kids that I served. So it was very, like I said, it was a great opportunity. It's unfortunate that it ended the way that it did, but I'm grateful for the lessons. I'm grateful for the moments. I'm grateful for the conversations. And I'm grateful for Marion opening my eyes to be able to be in position to better serve Marion now through works that I'm planning on continuing doing with members of that community in a position that I now serve and I now hold, which will allow me, I believe, the opportunity with God's authority to really start infiltrating the change that's necessary, even though I'm no longer the leader of the football team. But I believe the legacy and the moments and the concepts that I tried to instill will last a lifetime with some of the individuals that I had an opportunity to work with.
Mm. Former head coach of the Marion Harding High School football team, Coach Demetrius Ross, breaking his silence this morning here on WGH Talk and letting us know what's going on and where we go from here. Coach Ross, it has been a pleasure, and I know we will speak in the future. You take care, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much for your time and your expertise.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, and we're going to continue to talk about that next hour, 15-minute break. Don't you dare switch the dial.